I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. We have another of our episodes on the homeopathic healing series that we're going to share with you today. And we're here today to talk about ticks. So we are joined by Jody, as always, but Chrissy, a member of our team, is joining us as well, just so we can get a little bit more from the mom perspective and the personal experience. Because as I share in this series, we're giving you an overview of how we see healing happen in general and some examples from real life, but it's not going to be that way for everybody. So you could be on the faster end or on the slower end. You could have a fully different pattern that's going to be influenced by a whole lot of things, including any medications you're taking, how long you've been dealing with it, things that are happening in your life, in the environment, in your circumstances in your life. Things like puberty can have an impact. There's just going to be a lot of different things that are going to contribute to how somebody responds. So this is the average thing, not how you are going to respond. And when we have a couple of moms, we can get some opportunities to see where there's overlap and where there's differences and just have a little bit more rich conversation. So thanks for joining us today, Chrissy, to talk about tics.
You're very welcome.
So I would love to start, as usual, with both of you guys sharing with us a little bit about what tics looked like in your home.
You go ahead and go, Chrissy.
I'll go. Okay. Yeah. So tics started very early for my son. It was actually one of the first symptoms that I noticed going on. Although in hindsight, I can see that there was, you know, things happening before that. But I feel like the tics were, they started around age 3 or 4 for him. And it was like the one symptom that it's like either you have a tick or you don't. Like, obviously, something's wrong. Like, kids don't just tick for fun, you know? And so when he first started having ticks, it was a simple, like, blinking, winking type of tick. And he didn't even realize he was doing it. He was just playing, and I was noticing it. But it would kind of come and go in the beginning. And as we know with PANS, eventually, as the condition starts to get more complex and worse, tics get worse, tics get more frequent. New tics come about. He had some vocal tics, sniffing, throat clearing, things like that. And so not early on, but within probably the first couple years of me seeing it, I did start to notice a pattern with his tics that they would come and go when he was sick, which kind of led me down the PANS road. Because again, if you truly have tics or Tourette syndrome or something like that, I think they're a little bit more constant than just when the person's sick.
Or static.
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of our first introduction to seeing PANS symptoms was really his tics. That was kind of the first thing for us.
So for us, tics kind of showed up a little. It was at the very beginning, but I think the other things that I wasn't really sure about, I could kind of excuse them away. Like, there was behaviors that I'm like, oh, okay, she's having a bad day, having a bad week. All of the other things were like swirling low key. But then when the tick started, I was like, holy cow. And for Avery, it was the coughing tick. And she had been sick. So we were going down the doctor list and everybody was like, well, no, she's just still coughing. Like, give her this, give her that. And we were trying things. And I think it was the first round of antibiotics that she took and the tick completely went away. And I was like, that was interesting. And also, heck yeah, we're done with PANS. We're out of here. But then she got off the antibiotics and it like all of the things came back. But the tics came back with, like, I don't even know what it was next. But this is kind of the pattern we went through where we would get on antibiotics or something. And then the second we would get off, it would come back. But each time it was a little bit worse. And there was just a point somewhere in there where it was like there were so many tics. There was nose scrunching. There was coughing. There was humming. There was pulling her chin backwards. There was finger sniffing. There was so many. And I think I know the tick that like specifically got my husband's attention and was the first time where he was willing to accept that there was things going on outside of her control was every step that she would take, one of her legs would kick out to the side and she couldn't walk anywhere without that leg kicking out to the side. So it was like for her, just like in the first 6 months, they just kept showing up in different, just in different forms. And it was pretty alarming because I mean, like every once in a while, I as I'm looking back at old pictures with them, I'll run into old videos and it's hard to watch because there were times where it was her whole body was going and there was no control of it. So it's tough.
So thanks for sharing what it looked like for your families. So for some people, ticks are the first thing that they see. And that, I think, is one of the ways that PANS can get dismissed easy for especially younger kids, because ticks can be transient. So yes, no kid is just ticking for fun necessarily, but they can absolutely be transient and never come back with any inflammatory component. There also can be kids just start having sometimes it is kind of fun where there's repetitive looking movements, but it's not, they're just playing with they're learning how to control different motor skills, right? So that's one of the places where it can absolutely get dismissed. And so one of the things that we see a lot of times with PANS and pandas is that we see ticks come on with a vengeance when they do, if, you know, when they're present. Usually they are coming on with a lot more intensity. So we've talked about this on other episodes. One of the ways that you can kind of differentiate between Tourette's and other tic disorders and PANS or pandas is that the tics start more complex in PANS or pandas than they do in Tourette's and other tic disorders. Tourette's and other tic disorders start simple and PANS and pandas gets more complex. So you're going to be dealing with like a whole lot of movements potentially all at once, and they are going to change over time. So you both mentioned evolving nature of the tics and how they were presenting. And so one of the things that's most important to share about the healing process with homeopathy is it is not a force field, that once you start homeopathy, it is stopped and nothing else will ever happen. You will just have this where you're at right now is the worst case scenario, and then moving backwards through symptoms and improving. It does not mean that you will never see a new tic show up. Ticks will probably continue to change. Doesn't mean the ticks will never get worse. Sometimes they do, not just from an aggravation, but because the condition is not to its fullest expression yet. And so if it's a condition that is going to progress, homeopathy, as it's not a suppressive or palliative therapy, it's a healing therapy. Sometimes you're going to see some mild progression, sometimes even bigger progression if you're starting on the earlier side of things before you see it fully resolve. We don't know for sure if we're making it so that it's not as intense as it might have been if we hadn't started homeopathy to begin with, because we can't say we're going to split you into two and live into multiple dimensions and see what happens with this one child with no homeopathy and this other child with homeopathy. So we can't possibly know. There is a possibility that we're seeing it be not as bad as it would be, or maybe it is just as bad as it was going to be, and we just need to see the full expression before we start to see some resolution. We can still get relief along the way with homeopathy, though. That said, with homeopathy and healing from PANS and pandas, we're generally looking at the things that are the most intense and life-threatening, where the child is feeling like they are in danger, where they are in the fight or flight type of space. That is going to heal faster and earlier than the things that are less severe or less life-threatening. And the reality is there are many people, honestly, who live a happy life with tics, and it does not interfere once they get to a place of acceptance with them. It can interfere with conversations. I have someone I know who has decided that the medications and everything that he's used to address his tics are not worth the side effects that he has to get is not worth the use of the medications, has not tried homeopathy. So it's sad. Perhaps he would get some relief overall, but he's just decided he's going to deal with the tics and he lets it go. And so our conversations are interrupted because every once in a while he has vocal tics and a full body like shaking sort of tic that it just has to come out when the urge has built up enough. And so That's the only way it's really interfering. So other than that, very happy person, right? Lives a full life. So tics are not something that the body feels like, if this does not get fixed quickly, I am not going to be okay. So we often see tics take a while to heal. I'm not going to lie. It tends to be a stickier symptom in Pan's Pandas that we will see rage heal. We will see intense anxiety. We will see food restriction. We will see self-injurious behaviors. We will see all sorts of other things heal, and the tics are still there. And oh my gosh, is it frustrating? And tics can be so hard, sometimes harder on parents, I think, than on the kids, to just see your kid ticking. Because as you said, Chrissy, it is a visual, undeniable example that something is not 100% with your kiddo. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to pause with my talking and let you guys jump back in to share a little bit about what your healing journey was like and how tics evolved over time for your kids.
Yeah. So I feel like I knew this going in, because tics were kind of his first symptom, his worst symptom, I just knew that it would take time. And so I think my expectation, although, you know, tics are hard for him, for me to see, and all the things we talked about, I knew it would take time. And it did. Exactly how you explained, kind of waxing, waning, becoming less frequent over time. So eventually kind of just spending more time in a place where we didn't have the tics. And I'm talking, you know, a year into to homeopathy. And then eventually just less and less and less. And he doesn't really have tics anymore. Where I don't even remember the last time I've seen a tic with him. It's been a very long time. But it definitely took us time to get there. And I feel like during the journey, the one thing that I appreciated about the tics was that it was a very sure sign if we were headed in the right direction with a remedy or not, right? Because some other symptoms can be a little hard with a kid to even track, behavior stuff, things that might be age appropriate in the first place and that type of thing. But again, a tic is either there or it's not there. And so I could appreciate that part of it was that it led the way, kind of in a sense. But yeah, that was kind of our journey.
I feel like I went into it opposite of you, Chrissy. Like, I did not go in with the right expectations. Mm-hmm. And this is likely because I came to homeopathy very, very, like, back when not a lot of people were talking about homeopathy. But man, I came in not understanding homeopathy, like just ready for homeopathy to get rid of the tics. Like, they're going to be done. They weren't. It took a good deal of time. And in the beginning, whenever I first started, because I think it was like maybe like in the, like a month and a half, 2 months in, was when I started seeing a little bit of shifting with tics. And I was like, oh, heck yeah. Like, we're on our way. We're almost back to, like, we're going to get rid of them. But then they just kept going back and forth and back. I mean, they would get better and then they would get worse again. And then they would get better, worse again. I was, of all of Avery's symptoms, I was on the biggest roller coaster with tics. Like, the whole way through, like, the tics just, like, completely worked me, because it was just hard. It was hard to see her move like that. It was hard to see, hear the noises. It was all of the things. And there was just, I wish I would have better understood that, you know, the back and forth would eventually end, because that's ultimately what it felt like. It felt like, because her tics stayed for up until the very, very end. And it really honestly felt like they were never going to go away and she was going to have to live with them forever. And eventually they did go away and didn't come back. But man, it was there the whole time. I found myself getting frustrated with it more often than not, because it felt like homeopathy is this like insane, crazy thing that has gotten rid of rage and OCD and like all of these big, horrible things. But then we have this like noise tick or whatever it might be. And I'm like, how can homeopathy not like, I just want to, and the fact that like ticks weren't super great information as far as remedy selection, that was difficult for me too, because I'm like, I just want to give you the information and then I want you to give me the remedy that's going to make it all go away. And that's what my brain thought most of the way, which is probably why I was on such an emotional roller coaster with these dang ticks.
Yeah. A lot of parents are, though. The ticks are, it's just such a visual reminder. And, you know, I don't think we're going to have any of these episodes where we don't talk a little bit about Pan's PTSD and the ways that things can get triggered in parents. And ticks are one of those things that really triggers things for people, especially because they tend to not have like the same healing pattern with the 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back and the 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back. And they don't really follow a reliable pattern as far as changes in frequency, intensity, and duration. I will say that some people, ticks are the first thing to go away. I've had them. I think every provider in our practice has had a handful of people that ticks are the first thing to go away. Most people, it's toward the later side. It's somewhere in the second half to the very end that it will subside. And it's not like some of the other symptoms that you can see in Pan's Pandas, where you will go for prolonged periods of time without ticks, at least not early on. Later on, you might see prolonged periods without ticks. But what you're likely to see is that they're not happening as long or as intense when they're happening, or they might be happening in more discrete periods rather than feeling like they're just pervasive and happening all the time. But you're not really going to see as much of the, it's been great, we haven't seen ticks for 3 weeks and they're starting to creep back in. They're more likely to still be present throughout, where it might be that, well, we're not seeing them unless they're relaxing and watching TV. That's a pretty common time that you're going to see the ticks start to come up a little bit more. So if they're relaxing and watching TV, the ticks come on. If they're playing on their computer, ticks come on. You might see that versus they cannot stop ticking and we can't leave the house because they can't control their movements and they can't even get their shoes on because of the ticks and how they're impacting their life. So that's kind of more like what you're going to see. Is that what you experienced, Chrissy?
Exactly. Yes. And I think that when you're reporting symptoms, that's where like the frequency, the intensity, the circumstances come into your reporting. Because like Jody said, a tick itself isn't super useful information. But when you're trying to see if a remedy is helping or working, or if we need to change, knowing that information is really, really important. And that was exactly, you know, what I saw too.
All right. Do not let me forget to talk about the ticks and the description and what you guys just both mentioned with this. But I want to really quickly also touch on something that, Jody, you've probably forgotten or suppressed. But we can also see ticks be one of those things that come back in what we call the last hurrah. And the first time I ever saw this was with Jody's daughter. And the ticks had been resolved. We were celebrating. We were so excited. The ticks were better. We were seeing things go well overall, hadn't had big flares with really anything, hadn't had the strep infection yet that showed us we're just going to have strep symptoms, we're not going to have a flare. But having other illnesses come and go and not getting sick, not having a flare, no ticks increasing, and then boom, dental procedure, ticks exploded again. And Jody and I both felt devastated when that happened. Necessarily show that to her as much. And we both borrowed on each other's confidence at that time. She had confidence. She said, I got confidence. We got there before. We'll get there again. And I'm like, okay, I hope you're right, because I don't know why these ticks just showed up. And that's when I learned about this last hurrah that can sort of happen in Pan's Pandas. It wasn't something that I learned about, but we see it enough. And we'll put a link in the show notes to the episode about the last hurrah in case you're wondering what I'm talking about. But you can see something where ticks are seemingly resolved and then they explode again. And generally in that type of circumstance, you're going to see them resolve again very quickly and generally be done. Not everybody's going to experience this, but ticks are something that I have seen repeatedly come up as part of the last hurrah. So yeah, that's just something to make sure that everybody is aware of, that can be part of that presentation.
Yes. And that if that is happens to be the case for your kiddo, that was so devastating to me. I really appreciate you not sharing with me that you were also freaked out a little bit. Because I felt like oddly confident in you and homeopathy at that time. But at the same time, like it was a kick in the gut because it honestly felt like we were back at the very beginning. And even though I know that there was things that were not there that we had healed and moved past, it was sharp and painful. And it was, I mean, multiple months, and we had worked her way right back out of it. So kind of that last little oomph to get over.
So you both have mentioned ticks not being that useful for remedy selection. And I wanted to touch on that really quickly. So the fact that ticks are present is important, and that is vital for selecting remedy, because if a remedy isn't something that can produce ticks in a healthy person, it's not going to be likely to be helpful in helping somebody who has ticks in their unhealthy state resolve them. However, the granular detail that parents will often get into with ticks, because you are so focused on them because it's such a visual representation of what's happening for your child, might not be useful, because what we have to do in homeopathy is we have to match the symptoms you're experiencing to the data we have from provings. So what they have been shown to cause in an individual who takes it when they're healthy, takes the substance when they're healthy, and clinical verification, which means when it's been used in an unhealthy person and help to resolve that symptom. And we have to go with the data as it's reported. And the exact tick that you are experiencing might or might not ever have been described by somebody. And so it is sometimes the exact nature of the tick can be useful in selecting a remedy. And sometimes it is not, because that exact movement that you are describing has not been described by somebody in the provings. It doesn't mean that your tick will be there forever. It just means it hasn't been recorded in the historical literature and all of the information that we use to select a remedy. So it is still worthwhile to share what you're seeing with your provider, because you might have one of those ticks that is, okay, let's, you know, target in on this specific movement because I know this specific movement is in the materia medica. But it also might be that they say, okay, that's great. Let's just talk about ticks in general, okay? And when you're reviewing ticks with your provider, you're probably going to look at how are ticks overall, because a change in presentation of the ticks could be useful if you see a new tick showing up to make sure you describe it, or one of the ticks that you've had has fallen off. It's also useful to share. However, neither of those things mean that the ticks are better or worse. Right? It's just a change in presentation, and ticks by their nature fluctuate and change over time. And so you could see a new tick show up. It does not mean you are worse. It just means the tick has shifted. Right?
Yeah.
Chrissy, you got something.
And that's hard. It's hard to take. Like, that's hard to hear, you know, for a parent, because it always feels worse. Like, it always, we're getting worse. And we have, you know, such a bleeding heart for our kids. And when they're young, kids are cruel. And so ticks are one of those things. It's just hard to send them out into the world this way. And so it's just a tough symptom. It is. And to see ticks change and come back and go away, and it's like, yay. And then they're back again. And it's disheartening, but it is part of the process. It's part of the process.
You can recover. I think that's an important
Absolutely.
Thing. Like, it's
Absolutely.
Hard to stick with it, but you can get to a place where you are recovered and you're not like the person I know who is in his 50s or 60s or 70s, maybe even at this point, and has had to make the decision that I'm just going to live my life with this.
Exactly. Yes, there is another side to all of this. And I mean, it feels very good to literally have never thought about ticks for like months and months, like until this conversation. Mm-hmm. Like that's where you can get to. So
I feel like I've heard you, Dr. Barr, say so many times that like homeopathy is not a force field. It's not going to come and shut everything down. It's not going to like just end everything. I know this. I'm sure about this, but even me right now with my younger daughter, she did have some ticks whenever she was younger, a little bit. She's really had them show up like all of a sudden. And it still is like, it still feels like such a punch in the gut, even though I know these ticks right now are showing her provider something. Like they're part of the whole And even though they're not like the greatest, grandest indicator, they're part of her susceptibility. And I want to deal with all of it right now. Like I want to get this taken care of. So it's tough whenever that stuff shows up later, but homeopathy can still take care of it.
An important thing to remember as well is that you might see ticks show up when ticks were never present. Okay, I know that wasn't the case for either of you, though, Jody, it was kind of the case for you. If you had started homeopathy early, 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 if you had another child who had PANS and you'd had the signs, oh, maybe this is what's going on with Avery, perhaps you would have started homeopathy early and you would have been in the case where ticks would have shown up. So you might be in a place where things start to improve and you're seeing things get better with your primary concerns. And then boom, ticks show up and you've never seen a tick before. This is not a cause for alarm. It doesn't mean that the remedy caused it, because a remedy will never cause something that your body is not already susceptible to getting. So even in provings are not the exact same across the board, because it still is what you're susceptible to. If you think about a proving as something like side effects from medications, not every human gets all of the side effects that are possible. You get the ones that your body is more susceptible to. So anything that arrives is part of your overall susceptibility. And as Jody was saying, it is related to information that your provider needs to be able to get the next remedy to help along the way. We also need to remember that when we're dealing with PANS pandas and all of the things that we said earlier that are going to recover first because they are more dangerous, they are more likely to put the body at risk. Ticks is lower on the field for that. And it could be that whatever was contributing to the eventual progression or presentation of ticks was covered up by something else. So you might not have ever seen the ticks because the urge to move the body was instead put into violence, right? So maybe violence is resolving and ticks start to show up, and maybe ticks was actually underlying the violence, and it was the violence was essentially a tick that was a bigger expression of it, that they had to move their body and it was felt so hard that they were hitting instead of just a twitch or a mild movement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's very interesting too.
Yeah. So we have to sometimes look at when things show up, they can look like they are a new presentation or more severe, or this thing was getting better, but now this other thing that was mild before is getting worse. That's just showing you that you're at a less concerning stage, that this symptom has more freedom to roam because other symptoms have cleared up and been removed. And now this other part that's less life-threatening is able to have free rein on what it's going to do. And it's also going to get more attention, because if you're trying to juggle as a parent all the things with OCD that's controlling you, rage that's out of control, anxiety, sleep, never being able to leave access to a bathroom for more than 20 minutes, you know, all these different things that can come up with PANS pandas. If you got, you know, 10 symptoms and 6 of them are resolved, you're going to also have more capacity for attention to those things as well. Right. And the longer you're dealing with PANS pandas, the more your own PTSD is going to come up and the more you're going to be triggered by things. And I will even sometimes see parents worry as they are close to recovery or they're not seeing a lot of ticks. They're on such high alert for ticks and movements that if their kid blinks too many times in a row while they're doing something, that it's like, oh my gosh, is this a tick? And it's like panic mode. Okay, Chrissy. Yeah.
Been there. Been there. Yes. Hyper focus on, because I'm looking for it, right? Like, it's like I'm like locked in looking for it and seeing things that aren't things. And I've learned to chill when it comes to that.
So that's just something to be alert for, is that what you might be seeing could be something that if you would never have drawn attention to it, if you didn't have a diagnosis of PANS or pandas, it's probably not something you need to be worried about. You can mention it, but maybe don't let yourself get to where Chrissy has gotten with getting worked up over something that you never would have even noticed if you didn't have PANS or pandas in your past.
Every single one of these episodes, like, I don't think I'm going to be able to get out of one of these episodes without talking about parents healing themselves. because this is like, ticks is another one too, especially if you're moving through a longer period of time with something that is triggering you. For my husband, ticks to him are a little bit more triggering to him. I have also been in that same space where sound ticks, because I am still a sound sensitive kiddo, I really, really struggle sometimes with the sounds and the constant no breaking from it. And homeopathy really just like, it kind of changes it for like, it doesn't change anything that's going on around me, but my ability to stay above what's going on and not get like pulled into frustration or anger or just however I do it wrong sometimes. I just know I do it wrong sometimes. And going through my own healing, which I didn't do with Avery, but I am doing, you know, with my younger one, my own healing is like absolutely like super important while she's still going through these tics and some of the stuff that triggers me. And same with my husband too. Over time, it becomes less triggering.
Yeah. And obviously, tics are not something like we will talk about in some of the other episodes where your own similar reaction to your kid can escalate their reactions to things. It's not like you're starting to tick and so your kid's ticking because you're ticking or anything like that. Tics can get escalated when there is stress for some kids. And so because kids can pick up on how you're doing and how you're responding to things, sometimes tics can escalate a bit if the child is feeling unsafe because parents are giving them the message that it's unsafe because of their own anxiety. Does that make sense? So
absolutely.
Tics are a little bit less susceptible to that than others, the other symptoms. So if that's the main thing going on, I wouldn't worry about it as much unless you do notice a correlation that when I am stressed, my child is having more tics. That might be something to just pay attention to. It is, like I said, a little bit less common for the parent-child interaction to be part of the trigger and part of the spiral with tics than some of the other symptoms, but it still can happen. So I guess it's important to mention. So I'm glad you did bring it up, Jody. I thought this was going to be the one where we're not talking about it because there's less of the dynamic, but there still can have that happen. All right. I think those are the main things I wanted to share about tics. So we're always going to, again, be looking for changes in frequency, intensity, and duration. Probably not going to see as much of the clear 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back and 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back as you will with some of the other symptoms. You're probably going to be a little bit more persistent for longer, then start to head more into the 2 to 3 steps forward and 1 step back. And you might have big flares, and it does not mean things are going to change. You might have changes in how they present. And that does not mean that things are not working or that this is just something that you're stuck with. It doesn't mean things are getting worse. It's just part of the nature of how it goes. Anything else that we need to make sure we final in our final summary?
That I can think of.
Okay. Reporting what you see, patience. They do eventually go away.
Yes. Yeah.
With patience and persistence, make sure you note what you're seeing, but don't hyper-focus on what you're seeing either, because sometimes that hyper-focus can make it feel worse to you, and it might not be actually beneficial to your provider. But if you're unsure when it comes to tics, you can ask them for clarification on what you need to be providing, what information is really beneficial or not. All right. I think that's it for tics for today. Thank you for joining us, Chrissy, and sharing your experience. I know we're going to have you back for another one of these episodes to share as well. So we're looking forward to having you back, and we'll talk to everybody next time. Take care, guys.
Bye.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you.
Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.